Father in heaven, Lord, we thank you for our time this morning. It's always a blessing to be able to remember the Lord Jesus and to think on him and to be encouraged in those thoughts and to worship as a result of those thoughts. We pray now that as we turn to the Word of God, that you would teach us, that you would impress upon our hearts and minds those things that you would have us to know, that you would leave each of us today with something that you have given us, something very much of you. I pray that you would bless those who would teach this morning. Be with me here and be with the Sunday school teachers as they teach the Word of God to the children. We thank you for this time. We pray that, Lord, you would now just be very present with us and bless us. In Jesus' name. Amen. One of these days I'm going to reach under here and the notes won't be there. And then you will see a big man move very quickly from one of the fire exits. We're going to look at 1 John chapter 3 and verse 1 this morning. This is hopefully going to be a short and a simple message this morning. I read the verse over the course of the week and I was just impressed. It spoke to me and I was impressed by just simply the verse of Scripture itself. And I just want to think about that and just draw some thoughts and ideas out of that this morning and just see where the Lord takes it. We've come to the end of our teaching in Galatians. We're going to have a series of topics now until our weekend away. And then we're hoping when we come back from that, that we're going to get stuck into teaching in the book of Ephesians and work our way through the book of Ephesians. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 1. This is the Holy Spirit writing through the pen of the Apostle John. And he is saying, "Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called the children of God." And many ancient manuscripts add the word, "and we are," at the end of the verse, as a declaration of fact, a very emphatic way, because that's who we are. That's who we are. We're the children of God, the children of the Most High God. Having been born again into the family of God through the work and the love of God himself and God alone. And that's what I'd like to explore this morning. But I'm going to take you on a little bunny train before we even get there. And I just want you to bear with me for a few minutes because, again, this week this was impressed upon me. And I think for believers this is important. It's important that we know this, and it's important that we live this. So I'm just going to have a look at something before we get there. I want to think for a little while about the role of the Word of God, the role that the Word of God plays in identifying us as children of God. The role that the Word of God plays in identifying us as the children of God, and the influence it has over our behavior and our actions, in other words, how we act for God. Now, I hope you and I would agree that all Scripture is important. It's where God speaks to us, and it's how God enables us. The Holy Spirit tells us that. And so it needs to be our daily meditation. We need to read it every day. I know we know that. But sometimes we can forget that. And sometimes we can be guilty of maybe not giving the Word of God the place that it deserves in our day and in our life. And my argument this morning is that we're the lesser for doing that. We're always the better for spending time in God's Word. It is in the daily reading of God's Word that we are equipped to love God. Paul tells us that all Scripture is given to us by God to equip us, that we might be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. 2 Timothy 3 verse 16. God would have us daily nourished by his word, energized by his word, empowered by his word, to enable us to be whatever he wants us to be in any given situation during any given day. I liken it to a phone being charged. We all know the experience of taking your phone out and there's no charge. And your phone is useless. It's just a brick. It has no life to it. You can't access the things you might want to do on it because there's no charge in it. There's no power in it. But when the phone is charged, all of a sudden it becomes useful. You can do things with it. You can communicate with it. And so it is with the believer. God would have us daily empowered or charged by his word to equip us for every good work, to daily demonstrate the love of God in our lives. Listen to what John tells us in 1 John 2 and verse 5. He says that whoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. And by this we know that we are in him. Do you see what John is saying here? He is saying that the love of God can be perfected in us by keeping God's word. Isn't that remarkable? That the very love of God can be perfected in weak individuals like us by maintaining God's word and keeping God's word. Reading it, acting on it, obeying it. And he says that that's how we know we're in him. We are in him if we are daily obeying and reading God's word in Christ. So we can be identified as being in Christ because we are demonstrating the love of God in our lives, because we're being equipped and enabled to act for God by reading God's word and obeying it. That is how we are identified as children of God. You see now the necessary part that the word of God plays in identifying us as children of God. Does that make sense, everybody? Yeah? It's essential. It's vital. So we need to be people of the word. If we want our families or our schoolmates or the people we work with to identify us as a child of God, we need to be students of the word of God, readers of God's word, and doers of God's word. That's if we want to be identified as children of God. So now, that's my little bully train over. I'm back on track now. So let's just go back to 1 John chapter 3 and verse 1. And the more perceptive among you might realize that, well, actually, there's a connection here. So we'll see. John says, "Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. Behold," he says, "the Spirit of God is asking us to sit up and take notice how important the scriptures are in their entirety. Yet once in a while, the Spirit of God would have us stop to pause and ponder the magnitude of what it is he's about to show us. Behold," John says, "what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us that we should be called the children of God." He's asking us to sit up and take note of the kind of love this is, to be aware of it and to understand it and to be thankful for it. Mary and Martha may have asked that question when Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead. What kind of love is this? The blind man healed on the Jericho road might have asked the same question. The healed leper might have asked the same question. The man who was sitting for 38 years at the pool of Bethsaida might have asked the same question. What kind of love is this? John is asking us here to consider something greater still. He wants us to consider the kind of love that brings people like you and me into the very family of God. The kind of love that makes us children of God. This is more than healing love or restorative love. This is saving love. It's the deepest kind of love. It's a love that takes men and women like you and me out of the filthiness and the wickedness and the selfishness of sin and washes us clean and brings us into everlasting sonship with God, the creator of all things. That's the measure of this love. This is the love of a heavenly Father for lost sinners like you and me. I like the way the NIV translates this verse. It says, "See what great love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called the children of God, and that is what we are." That in my mind gets to the core of this. It gets closer to the beauty of this. John wants us to appreciate the greatness and beauty of God's love for us in bringing us into his family and making us his children. I wonder this morning, because I asked myself this question and it challenged me. Do you ever find yourself pausing to consider the beauty of that love, God's love, the scale of it, the extravagance of it? Some of us here are saved a long time. We can look out over a long life of faith in Christ. And maybe we can think about those moments, quiet moments, hidden away possibly, reflective moments, thinking on the love of God, what it means, what he has done for us, the beauty of it. It's something we all should reflect on, take up in our imaginations and our thoughts. There's nuggets there. There's gold to be had there to consider the love of God. John wants us to appreciate the greatness and beauty of God's love for us in bringing us into his family and making us his children. The hymn writer said, "The love of God is greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell." And that's true, isn't it? But that shouldn't stop us from exploring the depths of God's love for us. They might be depths that we'll never get to the end of, but we should dive in nonetheless. John goes on to tell us in chapter 4 and verse 8 that God is love. It is fundamentally who he is. He is love. God and love are inseparable. Love exists. Get this? Love exists because God exists. And without God, there would be no love. He is the perfection of love. And God making sinners like us his children is the supreme demonstration of that love. The highest expression of God's love, that we should be called the children of God. There's nothing greater. Think about it for a minute. God would bring sinners like you and me into his family with all the privileges of sons. He doesn't do that for angels, you know. To be loved with an everlasting love, as Jesus, the eternal Son, is loved by the Father. That's how we're loved. We are loved by God in that same way. And we share with Jesus in an inheritance, incorruptible and undefiled, that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for us, 1 Peter 1 and verse 4. That's the depth of God's love for us. God the Father loves you and me in the same way that he loves his Son. We are loved because we are eternal children of God. Think about that. It's no wonder the Spirit of God would ask us to pause and behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called the children of God. Because that's exactly who we are, with all the privileges of sons. That's the kind of love that we're thinking about this morning. So that's the love. Now, for a moment, let us consider how God has demonstrated that love and the method he has used to bring us into the family of God. How is that love, how is the love of God manifest in the world? Paul in Romans 5 and verse 8 tells us that God showed forth or demonstrated his own love towards us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. There it is. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. That's how God has demonstrated his love. Sin is the big issue, isn't it? We all know that. We all acknowledge that. Sin is what separates us from God. Sin is what makes us enemies of God. Sin is what repels a holy God from us and bars the way. But God in Christ has dealt with our sin. Praise his name this morning. And has brought us in and made us sons. It's my sin that gets in the way of my relationship with God. So God has to deal with it for me because I can't deal with it myself. I'm not capable. I have neither the means nor the ability to fix the problem myself. And it's nonsense to think that I have. Many people do. They think by achieving certain things, by attending certain things, by signing up to certain things, that that can put me right with Christ, with God. It can't. God is the only one who can put us right with God. So God had to step in and fix the problem for me, and he does so in Christ, Christ dying for my sins. Paul goes on in Romans 5 to tell us that because Christ died for my sin, I have now been justified by his blood. In other words, I am declared to be right before God because Christ gave me his life. And now I have peace with God. The issue of my sin is dealt with, and God can declare me to be right. There's the measure of his love for us. That he would give the Lord Jesus to do that for me. And as a result, Paul says we are saved from the wrath of God through him. No longer do I have to fear God's wrath. Christ has removed God's wrath from me. That's the wonderful gospel, isn't it? That's what we celebrate. That's why we come here on a Sunday morning to worship and to give thanks. Because God the Father in Christ has brought peace between us and himself, and brought us into the very family of God. That's the source of our worship, the fount of our joy. I no longer have to fear the wrath of God because Christ has removed God's wrath from me. Stop and think about that again for a second. I will get there. Here we go. God, who is holy, righteous, just, and all-knowing, knew that the only way that man's sin could be dealt with properly was for God himself to deal with it by himself. And that's exactly what he's done. He has borne the wrath for my sin on himself. I hope we never lose the power of this, the beauty of it, and the effect of it. That's the measure of love that God has bestowed on us, that we might become his children by the sacrifice of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. John in 1 John 4 and verse 9 says this, listen, in this he says, the love of God was manifest towards us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world. John goes on in verses 10 and 11 to say, in this is love. Now listen, the Spirit of God is making a very emphatic point here. He is telling us that this is what love truly is. He says, in this is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation or sacrifice for our sins. God the Son was sent to be the propitiation for our sins. Jesus is the means of propitiation. In other words, through his willing sacrifice on the cross, God's holy just claim against my sins are satisfied, completely satisfied. That's what propitiation means. God is completely satisfied with his son's sacrifice for us. And as a result, all of God's charges against us are now dropped. Jesus has satisfied the issue of our sins so completely that all of God's charges against me are dropped, washed away. The handwriting of requirement that was against us is washed away. Never gets tired, does it? It should never get tired. It is indeed, as I said, the fount of our joy, the source of our power, that God in Christ has done this for us. My sin or the bliss of the glorious thought, my sin not in part but the whole, is nailed to his cross. I bear it no more. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. We should be a people of praise, because these themes, these ideas should be constantly in our hearts and our minds. But the world robs them, doesn't it? The world robs them. Life robs them. That's the importance of the Word of God. It's the importance of fellowship. It's in the Word and in fellowship that we're reminded of what God has done for us, so that we become energized and excited about these things and worship and serve. So God has removed everything that hindered me from having a relationship with him, giving us new spiritual life, indwelling us. Scripture says that all things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new in Christ. A new birth and a new beginning. Praise the Lord. A new birth and a new beginning. That's true every day. Every day we start off new in Christ, a new beginning. Delighting, living in the good of what he has done for us. And Scripture tells us that the Holy Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are now children of God, Romans 8:16, brought into the family of God through the love of our Heavenly Father and the work of his beloved Son. And the Holy Spirit himself bears witness to that fact. In here, in our spirits, it's his role to take these things and to bear witness to them inside of us. Confirmation that we are now the children of God, the Spirit of God moving and working in our lives. And the Holy Spirit would have us stop and think about this. And think what it means. Behold, he says. Or take note of the manner of the love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called the children of God. Praise his name this morning. I hope this morning each of you know God as your Father. That you know the work that Christ has done for you. That you know that you're a child of God. With all that means, with all the promises that come with that. It's a glorious thing. On a sunny day, it's a glorious thing. On a miserable, dark, dull, wet day, it's a glorious thing. It really is. So, as we finish, let me ask you this simple question. Have you trusted Christ for your salvation? That's the first question. That's the most important question. Are you a child of God? A new creation in Christ, reconciled and brought into the very family of God this morning. Is that who you are? If it is, well then, delight yourself in the love of God. Delight yourself in this love. Ponder it, get to know it, to understand it. Delve into its depths and delight yourself in it. Delight yourself in it. I don't care how dark a day you're having. I don't care. I don't care what's going on in your life. You turn your eyes towards the love of Christ, the love of God. See what it is he has done for you and put your thoughts there. Meditate on those things. Well, then the things of this world grow strangely dim in the light of that wonderful cross. Don't trivialize or take for granted what God has done for you. Own the immensity of God's love towards you in giving us his Son. And daily read his word that you might be thoroughly equipped every day to do good works, so the world around you might know that you are indeed the child of God. Oh yeah, does exactly what it says on the tin. Exactly what it says. I can see it in that person. I can see it in their lives. I can see it in the way they treat people. I can see it in how they love people. That person is different. That person is a child of God. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we just give you thanks this morning for your goodness to us. We thank you again for our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. He is precious and he means everything to us. And Father, as we head out into this new week with all the things that are going on in this new week, we pray that we would be captivated by the love of God and that we would find real joy there. And we pray that you would help us, Lord, in the reading of your word to be enabled and to be empowered, charged, Lord, to serve you this week, to be everything that you would have us be. We thank you for this time together. We pray now as that we chat together, you would be with us and bless us. We pray as we head away, Lord, that you would get us all home safely. And we pray again, Lord, for all the various things that are going to go on this week. Bless them all. Bless all of our brothers and sisters. Lord, we think particularly of those who couldn't be here with us today. We pray that you would bless them. We pray that you would encourage them. We pray that you would keep them. Keep them in a place of joy, in a place of love. I pray that they would, Lord, be, that they would know much excitement about their relationship with you this week. We just thank you again for our time together. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen.